You're listening to the More Time, More Profit podcast, the best place for entrepreneurs who are looking to grow past the startup phase of their business, but still need to learn how to free up more time to drive more profit. Now, to present these real strategies, your successful business coaches and hosts, Adam John and Grant Muriel.
Welcome to More Time, More Profit, episode number 63. Today's show, we're talking about the VIP referral process with Raj Jha. My name is Adam John, and as always, I'm joined by Mr. Grant Muriel. What's going on, Grant?
Not much, buddy. Referrals, process, revenue. What is there not to love about this episode? So before we jump in, check out the steps online and follow along at home by going to www.moretimeandmoreprofit.com/063 for episode 63.
So today we're talking about referrals. Oh boy, get ready for this one. We covered how to generate referrals back in episode number 8. Now that was about 12 months ago, so it's about time we tackled them again. But make a mental note to go back and put episode 8 onto your playlist. Now, who doesn't love referrals? Probably the single most least expensive way to generate new sales quickly. You don't need a big advertising budget. You don't need a crack shot team of marketers or sales staff, or you don't even need to use any gimmicks. All you really need is some goodwill and you're good to go. When you get a little deeper into them, you might look for affiliate partners, strategic partners, or even joint venture partners. But for now, we just want you thinking about starting a referral process or even refining your existing one. So if you want some quick sales this month, listen up. Grant, referrals, music to our ears. Your thoughts on this, mate?
Yeah, mate. Look, couldn't agree more. Referrals are the lifeblood to business. If you cannot get referrals from your network or past satisfied customers, it means you're doing something extremely wrong. Just stop for a second and really think about it, though. Imagine you're an accountant. I have a friend who needs accounting services. You're a friend of mine. And I don't guide them to your services. Something has to be broken there. It could be a contribution of many factors, right? I might not even know that you're an accountant. I might have a friend who would buy me a beer if I give them my lead. I might not really trust your quality. I might not believe you have the personality to support my really close friend. Or even, you might not have the ability to deliver what they need, in my opinion. So my biggest worry is personally when I go and actually refer people to others is the impact on my actual relationship with that person I'm referring. I want to make sure that their time is not wasted. I also want to make sure that someone I'm going to refer them to would fit within their budget. So I want to do like that pre-screening for them, right? And there are a whole heap of other things as to why people are concerned about creating that referral connection, right? And it's always just those two things. It's either that you've not given me the tools to refer people to you, such as knowledge, understanding, or I have reservations to actually go and refer people to you, such as trust, understanding, mutual benefit, etc. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is why entrepreneurs fail consistently at getting referrals. They do not think about the other side of the equation. They think that just because someone's got my business card, they're going to send me business. And in my solid opinion and experience of business, if 30% of your business is not from referrals, you definitely need to set yourself down, listen to this episode, and really work through it, because it means that you're missing so much cash coming through that door. And there might just be one or two steps that you're moving. So I'll jump off my soapbox for now and let's jump into it. So we've got Raj Jha. Welcome to the episode, Raj.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. This is great.
Awesome. So Raj, you and I have met through an awesome business circle that actually, we've had quite a few guests from that same circle. We've started talking, immediately hit it off with the fact around e-commerce businesses, services, consulting, and they all need referrals. You're the fearless leader at Practice Alchemy. You're previous founder of a prominent law firm over in Silicon Valley and is a beast when it comes to operations with having COO positions before. And the main reason that we really just wanted to bring you onto this podcast was to show people how simple a framework of getting referrals is. It's kind of the starting point that everybody needs to get into when they open a business. So what I want to do is I just want to ask you, how did you get started or pulled or directed into the concepts around referrals or even using your network to generate sales?
Yeah, that's a great question. I got into it because when I ran a law firm, that's how I built the law firm. Right now, we actually work with law firms to help them grow, and it is the fundamental building block. You know, you might have some folks who are listening to this who are in e-commerce or things like that, but for any kind of business, referrals are the best return on investment. But specifically for services businesses, sometimes it's a little tricky to figure out what paid media can work, et cetera. And this is something that you can start with from literally ground zero. You could have no customers, you could have never delivered service, and you could start building a referral network. So because I did it, and was able to turn it into a process when I did it at my law firm, and now a process that I've consistently delivered to others and seen how effective it is. You know, I'm just a super advocate for the process.
Yeah, so like many things coming to business, right? So we actively go out and try and generate leads, whether it be through paid advertising, billboards, flyers, brochures, et cetera, et cetera. So at what point sort of was that aha moment where you realized that one of the most important and valuable sales techniques or even marketing techniques to generate leads, to go and generate income and revenue was through referrals? Was it like 2 years in when you're like, maybe I should go back to where I was doing 2 years ago? Or was it just told to you by a mentor or something? When was that moment?
I think it was a combination of things. It's hard to attribute where you get all your ideas from. I've probably never had an original idea in my life, but synthesizing all of these things, I think for me, the time that I remember most is we used to keep at the law firm what we called the lead log, which was this was a very long time ago. And it was just a spreadsheet of every prospect that came in the door and where they came from. And at one point, I was just looking for just the numbers. Where are they coming from? You know, how many are coming from this source and that source? But then I took a different view of it. And that view was, what's the quality coming from various sources? And that gave a very different lens into it. And I realized, well, wow, the best clients that we have, the ones that when you're pitching them, they pretty much just say yes right away. The ones you can charge the most, the ones that are the easiest to deal with all came from referrals. So I think that was the first aha moment.
Yeah, that's awesome. So it was like we had X leads from these different areas. And what was the conversion out of it? Like super simple metric that a lot of people would just ignore.
Right, exactly. But it comes down to, if there are other vectors in this as well, right? There's lifetime value. And when you have someone who's less price sensitive, which referrals usually are, and you can convert them more easily, then, you know, it's clearly worth more to you. And then there's also the piece of, who do you like to work with? And, you know, it's a birds of the feather thing. If there's somebody who's referring you and you like the person who's referring, you're more likely to like this prospect that they referred. So it actually just makes your delivery, especially in a services business or a high ticket business, much, much easier.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that. So one question at the end of this episode, do you reckon that everybody listening will be able to generate a few leads through referrals?
Absolutely. No question. There'll be two different ways of doing it, but depending on your transaction size and your kind of business. But yes, you will be able to.
Oh, love it. Enough chit-chat. Let's jump into the meat of the episode.
And if you want to ask Raj or us any questions, jump on a Facebook and search for More Time, More Profit group and ask away. All right, Raj, jumping straight into it. Today, we're talking about the VIP referral process. So what's the framework, the processes or steps at a very high level that enables you to get the results consistently in your businesses?
Great question. So let's back up way up to a 30,000 foot view. And the way that we view the world, so again, my company, we work with attorneys, so very service-based, but this can apply to other kinds of businesses as well. Once you've identified who your ideal client is, there are two main categories of getting them. One is kind of leveraged marketing. So that could be whether you're doing pay-per-click or you do social media or things like that. That's leveraged and to a large degree can be delegated. And then the other half is business development. And business development is kind of what you do in the real world. And that's what we're focused on here today. How do you build a vibrant business development list where people will consistently refer business to you? And so that's kind of what we start with. And then we dig in to thinking, how do we make this a reliable process? Because if it's just you showing up at random events, that's not really, in my mind, business development. That's, that's just random acts of marketing. So really, how do you build a process? And that's a 30,000 foot view, what the VIP process is. It's a specific thing you can install and do on a repeated basis and iterate and get better at and know that it's going to work in the long run.
Brilliant. So we've got our ideal client sketched out and we understand that we're not going to go down the leverage marketing track. We're doing business development. Now we've come in from that 30,000 foot view. What's the first step that we take?
Well, the first step that we take is to kind of do our research. And for anyone who's listening here and saying that, I'm an e-commerce business and I sell $10 widgets, I'm not going to be dealing in the real world with people who are going to send me referrals for $10 widgets. As we go through this, in your mind, just think about this being applied to JV partners or to distributors or to one level higher than your customer. The same principle applies.
Very good point.
Yeah, yeah. So then the first step, you know you're out of your client. And the next thing is asking yourself, where do I find them and who are they? So it's research and filtering. Okay, so you're going to build a list of criteria for ideal referral partners. So who will send me more of these ideal clients? Who already has them? And this can start if you've got an existing business. You'll look at your current referral sources and you might say, oh, okay, well, I'm an estate planning attorney and I'm doing wills and trusts, and most of my good referrals come from wealth managers. So that gives you one hint. And well, what kind of wealth managers? What amount of assets are they managing? And so you start to build, just as you would build your ideal client avatar, you're building these avatars of who sends you business. Now, if you're starting, on the other hand, from you have no business, you've just opened your doors, you just take an educated guess, a hypothesis about, I think the following kinds of ideal clients are in this circle and these people have access to them. And you need to build that profile. And then you can use a tool like LinkedIn to go out and say, okay, well, now who meets the criteria? How do I create a hit list essentially of these people? So that's kind of step one, identify who these referral partners could be based on either data that you have or your hypothesis, and then you're going to build a hit list.
I love the idea of the hit list, and I've heard many different combinations of it before. How do we actually start sketching that out in our mind about, you know, the businesses that we put on that hit list? Let's say if we're electricians, do we go out to other people who are builders and plumbers and carpenters and say, if you get any business, flick it my way and I'll do the same to you guys? Or do you go straight out to the distributors? Do you go to the suppliers? Or do you just pull it all together and just make a spreadsheet out and just start throwing darts at the board for the moment?
Yeah, it depends on whether you're going for the end customer or you're going for a distributor of some sort, somebody who has those relationships. But ultimately, what we teach is that you're going to build a spreadsheet. And on the first row, first column of the spreadsheet, in the first column, we're going to list the categories. So I'm going to pick on the estate planning lawyer again, because we love to pick on them. because it's such a good illustration of all of these concepts, because that's really the best way for them to get business. So they might have a financial advisor on that list, because these are people with, you know, who have clients, who have money, who need to plan for the succession of that money. There might be a family law attorney. So a divorce attorney might be on that list, because when someone's going through a divorce, well, they got to figure out, well, where do all the assets go? And that'll change your will. It might be insurance agents, because they're dealing with life insurance. It could be a long-term care facility. So when grandma's getting aged and is being put into a facility, you know, those facility managers know a lot of people who may not have done proper planning. So on that first column, you're just going to start with categories. And then in the next column, you're going to list, okay, well, if I have existing referral partners, you're going to put a value on there. A value of the average transaction size that comes from that specific channel. So on average, a financial advisor will send me a case which is worth $5,000. A family law attorney, you know, maybe it's better, maybe it's not as good, but you put it in, it's like $7,000. So you'll put it there, and then you're looking for these patterns. It's a very manual process. We all love to think that this can be put in a magic box and come out, but it really requires your knowledge of your product and your market and your customer to do this intelligently. And once you've done that, now you have a little bit of a map, right? You can say, okay, well, what's the mix that I want? Maybe I don't want to go all in on financial advisors. Maybe I want two financial advisors, one family law attorney, two insurance agents, and one long-term care specialist. And I'm now going to go with this list, and I'm going to do my LinkedIn searches and build that hit list, the actual names and contact information of the people who I'm going to reach out to and try to establish relationships with.
So we've sat down, we've come up with a list, and I love that, by the way, just the fact that splitting everything into categories. And I think it's one of those things in business, and no matter what we talk about, whether we talk about referrals or customer service or we talk about culture, it's doing more about what works and doing less of what doesn't work. So accurately measuring and actually writing down what's working and what's not working, that's probably one of the first steps in any type of business. So I actually love that. So we sat down, we figured out we want the financial advisor, the divorce lawyer, the insurance agent. Now we hit LinkedIn. How do we structure it on LinkedIn? How do we go about reaching out to these people? Because I'm sure that's an art in itself.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, we're going to talk high level, because LinkedIn seems to change its interface every 30 seconds. Like, you hit refresh and it's different. So who the heck knows what it's going to look like in the future. But in general, you know, if you're a local business, a geographic-based business, you're going to constrain the search, use the advanced search features to a certain radius, maybe 25 miles in the U.S. I guess you've got international. So, you know, maybe it's however many kilometers from your office. And then you're going to either search by title, job title is a good way of doing it, or you can search by industry, or you can search if you've got specific folks in your mind and you know they work at certain kinds of companies, you can search by that. But ultimately, you're using the advanced search features. And the best way to do it is look for people who are 2 degrees away. So a person that's 1 degree away is connected to you. 2 degrees away, you can get a warm introduction from someone you're already connected to on LinkedIn, which really greases the skids. It makes it so much easier to start a new relationship.
Have you ever had people say no to introducing you to someone before?
Very rarely. And usually there's an opportunity in and of itself for that. You know, if they're saying no to that, they might say yes to something else. So because they feel bad about saying no, typically. So if I had asked, for instance, a former client, well, you know, could you refer me to so-and-so and actually name them? And I say, you know, actually, I don't really know that person. I just connected with them randomly on LinkedIn. I don't remember who they are. Then you can say, oh, well, you know, that's fine. Oh, by the way, you never gave me a testimonial from the work that I did. Would you mind doing that? And then they'll say yes to that because they feel bad about the no. So that's an opportunity in and of itself.
Awesome idea. So I've searched advanced searches, looked for title radius, found some first and second degree contacts, and I've just reached out to them to say, hey, can you please introduce me to this person? Do I say why? Do I say, hey, look, I'm trying to generate referral leads. Can you please introduce it? Or is it just, hey, I'm looking to have an in-depth conversation with Adam. John, can you please introduce me?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I think the thing to remember about referrals is when you're establishing a referral relationship, it needs to be mutually beneficial. So if it is honest and realistic, the best thing to be able to do is say, oh, could you connect me to so-and-so? I occasionally get clients and I'm looking for referral partners to refer out. So in that way, it's a positioned as a benefit to them. And you can do this, obviously, if you honestly do have a business out. The other way to do it is to just be honest and say, you know, I'm building my network. I'm always interested in meeting other professionals who I can explore adding value to them and vice versa. I'd love to be able to take you for a cup of coffee. And that can work as well.
There'll be people out there listening say, look, I'm old school. I don't have LinkedIn. Can this tactic or this framework still work from doing a cold call or reaching out via email or a cold email or something along those lines, just so those people don't switch off and they feel that there's something in there for them?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. The process is exactly the same. It's better if you have a warm introduction because they're more likely to answer. If you don't, you can do it cold. I have one of our customers, one of our clients, we taught him this process and he sat down and one day did his research. He sent out 12 cold emails with just, I'd like to get acquainted, learn more about your business and see if there's a way that we can collaborate and maybe refer business to one another. His name is Kevin. And he sent out 12 of those. He got 8 positive responses and had 8 meetings with potential referral partners within 30 days.
So we've got someone on LinkedIn, and let's say we've gone through the second degree and they've introduced us to Barry, and Barry's on our hit list. How do we hit up Barry and get some business out of him or send him some business or start developing that relationship?
Yeah, that's a good question. This is a very time-intensive way of doing this because it is relationship-based. The next key is to make sure you're using your time intelligently. And this is where the rule of 80-20 comes into it. Because what very often happens when people start networking in the real world is they're very untargeted about it. And they either do number one cardinal sin, which is just accept every meeting request from other people without vetting if this is a useful relationship. Or number two, which is, you know, random acts of lunching and just showing up, but not assessing how valuable could this relationship be. So you've done your research and now you know who's valuable at a high level. Now you've made your list. You've got your category list and now you've got your hit list. And I'll just give the number for lawyers because that's what we deal with, but you can figure it out for other professions and businesses. We typically recommend that your VIP referral list, which is this hit list, is around 25 people strong. And the reason is that for most professionals and service-based folks, having too few, maybe 10 people on the list, is not going to give you enough of a referral network. Having too many, and you're spreading yourself too thin, and you're not actually developing deep relationships with productive referral channels. So with that as the two guideposts, you don't want too few, you don't want too many. The question becomes, how do you effectively use your time? Because time is the most scarce resource that you have. So we've developed a process, which is an 80-20 process. You've got your hit list. there are 25 slots on your hit list. Now, if you were starting with existing business, you might fill in your existing referral partners at the top of the list because they're already sending you business, and you just figure in however many slots are left out of your 25. Does that all make sense?
Absolutely.
And then the next thing is to try to fill in that hit list. So what you're going to do is you're going to go on your coffees and your lunches, and you're going to meet folks, and you're going to assess, is it a good fit? Because frankly, there's going to be a human connection there as well, that you think, oh, I would really like to have a relationship with this person, or maybe I meet them once every 90 days, 120 days for a coffee. I'll shoot them emails occasionally when I see a news article that might be interesting for them. If that's a check and that's the right kind of person, they go on the VIP list. But sometimes you'll have folks that you've done this sourcing process, right, on the hit list, and you meet them and they're like, you know what, I just talked to this person, they're getting ready to retire, and they only have, you know, a tiny amount of business as it is, and they're handing all their business over to a junior partner at their firm, there's not much in there for me, then you probably just wouldn't put that person on your VIP list. So you're going through this culling process to fill out your list of 25. So that's step one. Fill out that list of 25. Now, the next part of the process is the most important part, and that is what we call rebalancing the portfolio. On a periodic basis, and depending on your transaction value and the type of business you run, this might be quarterly, this might be every 6 months, this might be every year, you're going to review every person on that VIP list, and you're going to say, how much business did this person send me? What's that relationship worth? Now, importantly, we're not saying what these people are worth. They might be great people, but we can't conflate us liking to hang out with someone as being productive from a revenue standpoint. We have to be a little clinical about this and say, for the purposes of getting referrals, I'm going to evaluate every person on that list, and we're going to say, is this productive or not? And those that are not productive fall off the list. That opens up new slots, which then you run that hit list process again and start interviewing for who fills it up. And in this way, you stair step up higher and higher percentage of your business that can be referral based because you've got a defined process for doing it.
Do you have to tell them that you're taking them off the referral list, or is it just like a relationship where if you stop maintaining it, the fire burns out?
You know, I think the way that we typically do it, and you've probably talked about this in earlier episodes, you know, part of referrals is also doing things like nurture marketing and emails and things like that. Anyone on your VIP list also should be on your newsletter list. So it's just one day you stop calling. You don't have to say, you know, I prefer and I recommend you don't make it so mercenary to say, well, if you don't send me a referral, I'm taking you off the list.
Raj has unfriended you.
No referrals.
Exactly. None for you. So, yeah, but rather, you know, in most relationships that everybody else in the world has, they're very fleeting as it is. Right. And they sometimes people just vanish on you. So they won't, frankly, notice it because we're talking about a human interaction cadence of every 90 days or so. You sending occasional emails, they're also getting your newsletter anyway. And just one day that just doesn't happen. They literally won't notice. So it's really nothing that should be perceived as insulting or anything like that. You know, you've just moved on to something else. If they reach out, then, you know, you can, as always, be helpful to them.
Love it. So we've got 25 people on our hit list, which is going to create the warmest list possible for us to start contacting. Now, we've gone through Barry. We found him through our second degree. Someone's introduced us to him on LinkedIn. Do we just say, hey, let's go for a coffee? Do we say we can do mutual business together? How do we get them into that setting where we can start building that personal relationship with them and then hit them up for the reciprocity that's going to follow?
Yeah. So, you know, just again, elevating us to the 10,000 foot level, so 30,000. So Barry, we don't know Barry. So we are essentially interviewing Barry for a slot on our VIP list. So Barry's on the hit list. He's not on the VIP list. We're interviewing him. So we're going to reach out. And this is going to be based somewhat on your business. If you can have some kind of carrot, which is mutual benefit, then use that. Say, Barry, I often get folks asking me about insurance agents in the area. So Barry's an insurance agent. I'd love to learn more about your business, who the right people are to send to you, and let's have lunch on such and such a date. So that would be one way of doing it. Or if you have no nexus in that way, if there's not a logical relationship of referrals out that you could give them, then it can be as simple as, I'm interested in networking with other, you know, business owners in the area. Would you be interested in? And the same principle that tells us that we should not be randomly networking because it happens all the time, is the reason why they say yes. Because most people are completely reactive. So they're going to say, yeah, well, why not? It's something to come of this. They're not being strategic. You're being strategic because you're targeting them. And they're just going to accept it because, like, oh, well, who knows what could come of this? So by and large, it'll just work if you ask. Not 100% of the time. You know, you have to, you know, be able to take a little bit of rejection, but isn't that always the way of business ownership?
Correct. Is there like a strategy that you have? So I've had referral partners in the past, both sort of formal and informal. Informal are always the easiest ones. It's kind of like your friends, families, and fools who just say, you need some legal advice, go and see Barry. For those people who aren't in that mindset, oh, my business might not be flourishing, I might not have any referrals, let alone to go and fill up a bucket of 25 people that I want to refer to me. That means I should hopefully be getting one lead for their businesses a month, which is 25 leads for other people.
Mm-hmm.
Is there like another avenue you could take, such as a finder's fee, a referral fee,
mm-hmm.
or is there anything else out there? Because it's kind of like if you go to the gym and work out all the time, but you don't grow muscles, you're never going to go again kind of thing.
Yeah. So there's a couple of ways of thinking about this. Part of it also is industry specific. So even within the law, referral fees are common for personal injury lawyers in the United States. So you send me business and I give you a percentage of the fee that I ultimately earn. In other areas, like the area of the law that I practiced in, which was technology licensing, referral fees were just not a thing. It was just, you know, you're just doing someone a favor referring them. I think that the key thing to remember is that referral relationships don't need to be reciprocal by sending clients. As long as you are giving value to someone, they will send you clients. So that's a very important distinction, because without knowing what someone really wants, you're not going to be able to, you know, give them value. So that interview process, you figure out what they want. And then after that, you can move on to giving them value in other ways, whether it's, you know, a business inviting them to a social event, that's value. A small business, local business roundtable where you can become a connector and connect them with other people. That's giving them value. So there are many ways that you can give value. It doesn't have to be a client for a client. And that's an important part of this.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely awesome. And going back to one of the situations I was in with one of my companies is that we were a web design marketing company and we teamed up with a graphic design company and we had a referral process in place with them. And literally a part of that was we did give them a referral fee, but also was protecting them from full service agencies. So people would go into a graphic design company and have a website design company built in. Now these guys would lose a lot of business there. So mm-hmm. we didn't lose the business and they didn't lose the business. And that was mutually beneficial for both parties as well. So it's not only the monetary value. And sometimes people are just happy to know that their client isn't going to go elsewhere and that you're going to look after them.
Yeah. And actually there's another nuance about that people don't give referrals to do you a favor. So, Grant, I like you, and I might send you business because of that, but ultimately, the reason why I'm going to send folks to you is because I'm doing them a favor. I just want them to be taken care of.
Yeah, that's correct.
So, if from that frame, you don't have to give, and if the whole give and take is really the crux of the referral relationship, the second that someone's willing to give more, whether it's a commission or anything like that, that relationship is just gone. Whereas if you're giving these clients a really good home and you are giving some kind of value, which could be just relationship value, it could be networking value, then that's the most solid long-term kind of referral relationship there is.
Yeah. Is there anything else that sort of just helps really increase that conversion rate, if you will, for referrals? Is there like when we're reaching out to people for introductions and things, we do follow-ups? Is there sort of things that we can do with this for past clients and things like that? Or is there sort of any sort of secret sources that you've seen over your many, many years of expertise?
All the general principles of sales apply to this as well, right? So if you're just going to shoot one email and then go, you know, shoot off one email to a potential referral partner and then go hide, it's less likely to happen than if you try a few times. Another little tidbit is if you have someone who is appointment setting for you, an assistant or a virtual assistant, sometimes, and in some industries, it helps to have them do it rather than you, because it makes you look more important, right? Somebody with an assistant is clearly more important because they're not sending their own appointments. Oh, this must be a valuable person to meet. So you can experiment with that as well. But really, the number one tip that I have, or the number one process piece, is that this is a process. It is a recurring process. You should calendar time to do this on a regular basis. Because if you just do this once and you build a list, but you never rebalance the portfolio and you reach out a little bit, but you don't follow up, then it's not really going to work as well as it could. This is a discipline of doing this every quarter, giving yourself milestones. Well, how many people am I going to contact? How many slots do I have to fill? Making sure that I'm contacting everybody on that VIP list on a regular cadence. It's like going to the gym. If you go to the gym and work out like crazy for 2 days in a row and then never do anything else, you've made zero progress other than just wasting a lot of time. But if you show up every week over the course of a year, great things are going to happen. It's the same thing here. We're all looking for this magic bullet because we see paid media and we see these companies growing really fast, and that's great, but it can decline just as fast. This is a long-term strategy, long-term value, which is going to build a really solid foundation for the business, and you have to treat it as such.
Now, Grant, I know you've been scribbling away on your notepad there frantically. Do you have some points or framework that people can go take into the office tomorrow and start generating a hit list and some referrals? Now, I will note that back in episode number 8, we did talk about how you can get referrals from current and past customers. So in this show, we can actually go out and find new referral partners. So it ties in beautifully. Take it away, Grant.
Yeah, so we've now got the 6-part Raj framework, if you will. So the first step is obvious, and we sort of touched on it quite heavily, because if we don't succeed at setting the foundation correctly, we're sort of going to miss everything. And that's obviously the research and the filtering, right? So who will send me referrals? Who already sends us referrals? Do we have other support services? Is there anything that we can complement? So Adam's example of working with a graphic design agency as a SEO and digital marketing company was perfect. And if we can't really sort of use any other data, or we've got no referral partners, let's just go and set a hypothesis, right? We can go and look out and sort of say, okay, well, if I was in this organization, I might want to use our services and things like that. Step 2 is let's go and generate our hit list, right? We want to build this into a spreadsheet that's got 3 columns. 1 is category, 2 is value of transaction, and the 3rd column is our hit list, right? So we're just starting to filter in people that we know, LinkedIn profiles and things like that, that we already know through our research and filtering. From that, we then want to expand on our initial list. We want to jump into LinkedIn, use advanced search, filter by title, radius, etc., and always try and go for our first and second connections, because those warm introductions or pre-existing relationships make it super simple and super easy for us to go and connect with people. Step number 3 is then we want to get our referral connection. So we want to start doing our outreach, and there's 2 ways I can say this. So the first one is getting our introductions, and this is all about mutual benefit. So it's, hey Raj, can you please introduce me to Barry? We're kind of looking to try to create a referral network with them where we can provide them leads, etc. Do you think we can connect us so that we can meet up for a coffee? And then the second part, which you touched on, Raj, as well, was sort of that cold outreach. We're not always going to have first and second connections. So we can go out there, we can email, do phone calls, et cetera, and just use the same thing. Say, hey, can we go out for a coffee? Want to create a mutual benefit out of our relationship, and I just want to understand your business a bit more. And the final caveat to that as well is just always do your follow-ups. I have many days in a week where people call me 2 or 3 times, and just because I'm so busy, I forget to call them back. So when they call me again, naturally, I'm just going to be like, yes, look, sorry, I've missed your calls. What's going on? Step number 4 is sell the referral connection. I think this is critical. It's like they always be closing, right? So you want to pitch sending them referrals, and then you're going to get mutual benefit in them saying, hey, maybe I'll send you yours. If you can't get that, maybe a referral fee. As an example, it's typically 10% from what I've seen in my experience, usually service businesses for that. If not, offer to bring them into your network and take them to events where you pay for the tickets. And again, if not, provide your service to them in exchange for them providing referrals, so provide the service for free. If not, offer services that are white labeled, so just provide your services under their banner. It doesn't matter. The list is endless, right? And Raj was sort of touching base. It's really just industry specific. So some industries won't do fees. Some industries will. Just talk to people and just try and figure out what's happening there. Step number 5, second last step, is the 80-20 referral maintenance steps, which is we only want to make sure we have 25 referrers in our list. We can't manage more than this. And it's like you can only have best mates that sort of sit on one hand, right? You can only have 5 very close friends, or else you're not going to maintain anything. You want to maintain these guys by catching up with them 60, 90 days, and you always want to be looking through your list and sort of refilling it as it sort of cuts down. And the final step is our rebalancing our portfolio. So we want to rebalance our portfolio by evaluating the referral amount that people are bringing in. So how many new clients have they brought us in, and what's the revenue that we've generated? Like, if people drop off our list because they're adding no value, that's fine. Go back to steps 1, 2, and 3 and just refill that bucket. And you want to do this review every quarter as well, just keeping yourself on top of your referrals. And then the final point to it all is, if someone drops off, they're still going to get your monthly marketing emails, your sort of flyers and letters that you send out and things like that anyway. So they're not going to be too disheartened when they disappear. So 6 steps, how did I go, Raj?
I think you captured it. I mean, it's a great distillation of what we talked about today.
Raj, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on today, and we really appreciate your insights. Can you tell us where we can go to find out a little bit more about you, website, social media, or something that you wish to promote?
Sure. The best way to look at what we do and how we do it, along with a bunch of videos and other things that can kind of round out some of what we talked about today and other aspects, is at our website, which is www.practicealchemy.com.
And we'll put that in the show notes for people playing along at home. We'll be continuing this conversation over at Facebook. You can go to Facebook and search for More Time, More Profit Group and join in the conversation with us there.
Thanks, everyone. Don't forget to jump onto iTunes, click subscribe, and leave us feedback and tell us exactly what you've taken away from this episode.
And that's it from us. We'll catch you the same bat time, the same bat channel next week. It's bye for now.
Catch you later, everybody.
You've just been listening to More Time, More Profit Podcast. For more info, check out moretimemoreprofit.com. Make sure to tune in at the same time next week for another dose of real-life business strategies.